The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello. Quick story as to get things started today. I got to tell you, particularly as I've gotten older in life, sometimes I become a little bit more cynical. And I get frustrated when I sometimes help people tell me, oh, John, you got to meet so-and-so, or so-and-so is going to call you, so-and-so wants to meet with you. And then I get a call from this person, and oftentimes they'll say things like, oh, John, we want a partnership with you, or we want a relationship with you. And what that always translates into, not always, but a lot of times, is what they want is a check, and then they want me to shut up. Like, that's what it is. And so I get suspect, I get cynical sometimes when people call me. But then there are the other times when somebody introduced me to someone, and I am humbled and blown away and embarrassed about my cynicalness because the person is so crazy impressive. And that's what happened today with our guest, Larry Williams. So, Larry Williams, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And I really appreciate you reaching out. And I'm sorry I was cynical the first 4 seconds you and I were talking, and I apologize for that. But he is with the Simeon Resource and Development Center for Men, and he is doing some cool stuff. And so to get things started, Larry, tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay. Well, we partner with the community to alleviate disparities in health, education, income, and incarceration among men. But we serve everyone.
So sure.
We don't care who you are, your gender, race, we will serve you.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, we looked at data, and we looked at the data of Black men, Hispanic men, and saw that they were disproportionately represented among those who are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the Florida State Prison, 51% of the prison population is Black males, or are Black males.
Right.
51%.
Right.
And so when we look at the health data as well, Black men, Hispanic men, will live 9 years less than their white counterparts.
Mm.
So something is going on there. And so a group of us got together to address those issues, and we knew that we needed partners to do so. And so we set about doing that, doing grassroots education, going to the barbershops, going to the grocery stores within the communities. And it has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We have served hundreds and hundreds of men and women, and have had hundreds and hundreds of success stories. Everywhere I go, I see people who have come through the center. Yesterday, I was somewhere on OBT and saw a young man say, "You don't remember me, do you?"
Mm.
And I said, "No, I don't. It's been a long time ago." And it was a young man who came through who had no hope, no future. And we sat down with this young man and created a plan with him to have a better life, and he has a better life now.
That is awesome.
And that's what we do.
That's, well, mm-hmm. What you do every day is a lot cooler, a lot more important than I'm doing. I got to tell you, my brother, that's really cool. Let me go back. I want us to spend just a couple minutes on the on that background. You said 51%
of the Florida prison population are comprised of Black males.
Right. And, you know, that is not the same for the general population of just people in society, right?
Correct.
It's very disproportionate. It's funny. I you know that I love prison ministry.
Yes.
And so I've visited prisons often, and I've had that feeling when I've gone inside 3033 jail. It's like, gosh, this doesn't look like Orlando as you might picture Orlando being on Park Avenue or in a mall or in theme parks. It like looks very different.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's some component that is to understand the why.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have sometimes is some people spend so much time on the why,
mm-hmm.
they never get to the what,
right.
You know,
right.
What are we going to do about it? Meanwhile, that's somebody's life, right?
Absolutely.
That's somebody's child, that's somebody's parent, that's somebody's spouse, and it's some human
mm-hmm.
and what they're doing right there, right now. And then the second stat, you said that, did you say the average
life expectancy?
Life expectancy. Say that again. Say that number.
It's like 9 years life expectancy.
Right.
9 years less than the white counterpart.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, we could probably pull that thread for days, right?
For days.
Because part of that could be access to healthcare, but part of it could be access to health,
yes.
Right? It could be, you know, I know this stat, it's like 6% of the U.S. population has diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12% of the Black population. In Eatonville, which is right next to us here, it's 25%.
Correct.
It's one in four. And so again, we could connect that to some systemic issues, but again, there's a reality of that. And gosh, we probably could talk a little while about mental health and all those connection points, yeah. Right?
And 12% of the black male population, adult black male population, has an undiagnosed mental disorder.
Wow.
I often have female partners of these men will come through my center seeking assistance, and they will say to me, they call me Mr. Larry, I guess because of the gray hair in my head. So everybody calls
me. It's respect. I would call
okay.
you Mr. Larry. You deserve
and,
it.
Yeah, and they will come in, and the young ladies or older ladies will say, Mr. Larry, my husband or my boyfriend is acting crazy, and I have to tell them he is not acting. Mm. He has some issues.
Right.
And so we have to get him some assistance.
Okay.
You know, often they don't know what they're dealing with. No one has ever sat down with them and said, okay, you have this disorder. Mm-hmm. It's not talked about.
Mm-hmm. So so we know there's an established problem, mm-hmm. all right? So the next thing I would say, when you mention resources, can you give me some examples? Like, so I think you know this. I'm part black, very, very small part okay. black, but I have other members of my family that are blood that identify mm-hmm. that would be much more apparent. So if I had a member of my family that was incarcerated and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do, or maybe they just got out of prison, I call you mm-hmm. and I say, Mr. Larry, what do I do? And you would tell me what?
Yeah, we set up an appointment for that person to come in mm-hmm. and we will conduct an assessment on them to see where they are and what they need to progress, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we do. But we tell people, come when you're ready to move forward, because once we start working with you, you're going to move forward.
Right.
Often the guys come through thinking, oh, you know, this is the same thing. They're not going to do anything. And they go, wow, you actually do things for us. Right. We actually move forward.
So give us a flavor for that. So when you do the assessment, is it part of like, where are they at academically?
Academically, medically, in terms of employment.
Okay.
We have had guys to come in that have never worked.
Wow.
And they could be 30-something years old. They've never worked. And so we have to make sure if they don't have a high school diploma, we work to get them into a GED program.
Mm-hmm.
And so and once they complete that program, then we look at some, you know, services or a career for them. There are so many technical training programs out there now that a lot of people don't know about. And we connect them to those programs.
You know, it's so amazing because I'm in a CEO group and mm-hmm. My company is really small, but I got friends in there that have a lot larger companies. The number one thing they talk about is staff. And a lot of them, construction, labor, they can't find bodies.
Right.
And it sounds like that I need to get more of them in touch with you because yeah. maybe you could help a direct pipeline, right?
Exactly. We conducted the grassroots marketing program in 2008. Do you know we no longer do outreach or marketing?
Really?
It's all word of mouth now.
Wow.
And so they've been coming to us word of mouth since 2008.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So it could be that you meet somebody and maybe they have low academics, but you might be like, this one's sharp. This is a sharp mm-hmm. cookie right here, right? Or you might say, maybe they have some limitations, but that's okay. We can mm-hmm. help them in a different kind of way. So that's part of it.
Absolutely.
You might, well, from a health assessment, be like, gosh, they seem like they're physically in great health. Mm-hmm. And then that might steer it. Or they might have some issue that you may need to steer them in a different direction. Am I on the right path?
You're on the right path.
So that's all the kind of things you're looking for.
Absolutely. And what we have done, John, is that we have established partnerships with educational institutions mm-hmm. so that we kind of clear the path, for lack of a better word, for them to access education, technical
right.
training. We have partnership with locally, federally qualified clinics so that they can get into those clinics if there's a medical or behavioral issue.
Mm.
Often the guys come out of prison who need to be on meds.
Right.
And so they get out of prison. They don't know where to go. They're off the meds, and then they're out of control.
Listen, Mr. Larry, I have been in executive level positions for a large part of my professional career, and I have been on meds. Mm-hmm. I have been on psychiatric treatment. If I didn't have those meds during that tough time, mm-hmm. I don't know where I would be.
Right.
So that's just an excellent point. I, you know, we joke, our producer Mike and I joke because he's a big time Gator fan, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. No, I do. He knows I love UF, and I do a lot of things to help UF. But in the world of the stuff I do with education, we have 10 endowed scholarships at 7 universities. And, of course, FAMU, Bethune-Cookman, Jackson State, 3 of our favorites, HBCUs. But I will tell you, of all the things I've ever done, mm-hmm. I got asked one time to give the keynote address at graduation for Valencia College
wow.
at 33rd Street Jail
wow.
for the inmates that were graduating for their certificate of construction work. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I wanted to cry the whole way through.
Right.
You never met a group of people more proud. And a proud and healthy way, you know, mm-hmm. and you can like, this is life changing.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we think about, you know, look, if somebody commits a crime, of course that needs to be dealt with. At the same time, really understanding the importance of human dignity.
Absolutely.
And the opportunity for a second chance. And if they've done their time, they've done their time.
Right.
No more need to talk about it. Right. We need to help get them to the right direction.
Exactly.
And that's really what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I don't condone criminal activity at all.
Yeah.
I don't. But as you said, people need a second chance.
Right.
And I think part of my Christian walk, the Lord really taught me that you need to give people a second chance. See them as I see them.
You know? Listen, I've told this story before. I have a friend, and if you met her, you might think, oh, is she an attorney or something? She was in Mississippi, and she had a young child, and she and her boyfriend were doing drugs constantly, and the boyfriend beat the kid to death. And she then went to prison in Mississippi. She found her faith in Christ. She got through all that, and I had her sing at a prison ministry banquet, Amazing Grace. And she told the story of and she said, hey, I lost that child and I was not a right mother, but God restored me. And her story now is the most beautiful thing ever.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I have some questions about why. We're going to talk about why.
Okay.
So thank you, Mr. Larry.
The Central Florida Urban League has a mission to end generational poverty. For our youth, we offer one-on-one mentoring, crime prevention skills, and after-school homework. For adults, we are proud to offer a Microsoft Office Specialist certification course, registered behavioral technician certification, as well as entrepreneurship and small business certification. For more information on our programs, please call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Mr. Larry, so we're back here at the Crossman Conversation, and we've been talking about the wonderful work that you're doing with men and the resources you're providing. You know, you are so impressive. When I meet you and I talk to you, I'm like, gosh, this is such an impressive guy. Why are you doing this? I mean, you could be doing other stuff with your life.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably be working in the kittens and puppies ministry or something.
That's
a little that's a little easier.
It is.
You picked like the biggest rock, like I'm going to pick up the biggest one, and you did. So why are you doing this?
Well, you know what? I think it's a calling.
Sure.
And I really believe that because I had a career with the government and I was doing extremely well. I was 5 years short of retirement. And I just felt impressed upon that this is what I needed to do.
Wow.
And I kind of put it on hold and kind of begged the Lord for a little time to let me retire. Then I'll deal with this. But I never got to that point. And I often say to people is that I gave up my career so that others may have a career.
Wow.
I did.
Wow.
It was very difficult, very hard. I struggled with it. But I took the leap of faith and I left my career.
Wow.
And it hasn't been easy. It's been struggles. It's been lonely. It's been hard. But I'm so glad I did. It was one of the best decisions I made.
Wow.
And now I can see the fruit of the labor. You know, I can see the fathers reuniting with their children. They're marrying the women that they were once just living with. And we'll have a conversation is that when are you going to marry her? You've been with her for 12 years.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And they marry them.
Wow.
They're in the home with their homes with their children now. And what we know from science, and science can tell you this, is that when a father is engaged or in the home, the kids are healthier.
Mm-hmm.
They do better in school. They're less likely to get pregnant as a teen or to become a teen parent. And there are a whole list of other things. And so not only do I do it for them, but I do it for the women that love them and the children that adore them.
Wow. Well, listen, Mr. Larry, you can't come out here and make me cry.
Okay.
Don't you do that. We can't have any of that. So people are listening to this and, they might be thinking, well, that's all good for you. But I don't feel called. Like, why should I care about those people? Those people aren't a part of my community. Those people are committing crimes. Those people had a child out of wedlock. I didn't do that. I've done good things. Why should I care?
Well, one of the things I often, as I've read the Bible, and Jesus said in Matthew 26:11, I believe it, that the poor will always be among you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually quoting Deuteronomy 15:11,
mm-hmm.
and where God commanded that you take care of the poor and share with them generously, give and do for them, because you never know. You're impacting generations. And I think we have a moral obligation.
Uh-oh, Mike. Our guest knows scripture. Well, can I say something and then I want you to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I think about the Old Testament, my favorite character is Joseph. I love Joseph. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joseph, you know, went to prison, right? And he didn't even commit the crime,
right?
And so that happened. And then, you know, Moses, like, killed a guy, hit a body.
Right.
He never went to prison. And, you know, David had a guy murdered, like a mafia boss, and he never went to prison,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul, he says that we should treat people in prison like we're chained next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a question, like, Jesus was in prison, right? Did anybody visit him?
Yeah, okay.
Did anybody visit him? But Jesus said that when we visit anyone in prison,
mm-hmm.
we're visiting him.
Absolutely.
So did I get all that right?
Yeah.
So some people will say, well, I'm not called.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think, well, are all Christians, as Christians, are we called to read the Bible?
We are.
Are we called to pray?
We are.
Are we called to fellowship?
Yes.
So there's some things that's not a calling, it's just part of being a Christian.
Exactly.
So is being concerned about those incarcerated part of the faith, or is that something we're called, a selector call? Which is it?
Yeah. I think we're called to be concerned about the people.
Right.
We are.
But that's an everybody thing, not a like...
Yeah. I mean, we all are.
All are.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's something to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say as a follower of Christ, I think being interested in what you do, mm-hmm. regardless of where you are, if you hear this, I think you should be concerned about it. Now, what if you're not a follower of Christ? What if you're like, well, that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I care? Should I be concerned?
Absolutely. It's, again, a moral obligation, and your fellow man,
right.
It's important.
Right. So even if you're not like a churchy person, it's still important because it's a moral issue.
Absolutely.
I would say it this way. Like, if you're a devout capitalist, I'm a devout capitalist,
okay.
right? And so as devout capitalist, like, it's good for the economy, right? I'm a patriot. I love this country. I think it's good for this country. Some people might say they're a devout environmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, having people live in family units is better for the environment
Absolutely.
Than split up. So we really could look at this from lots of different angles and come back to the same conclusion that the work you're doing is important.
It's very important.
So there's a lot of whys for everybody.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you think that if somebody's listening to this and they're just unaware, but their heart's stirred a little bit,
mm-hmm.
What do you think, what could they do to be helpful? What can they do?
Well, actually, there are other organizations that serve similar populations as well. They should do their research.
Mm-hmm.
There's an agency called the Central Florida Foundation. And what the Central Florida Foundation does is it vets, for lack of a better word, vets mm-hmm. organizations to make sure they're legitimate.
Right.
And so they can go to that website and take a look at the organizations that are there as well. But I think they can volunteer. That's important because, you know, small agencies, ministries need volunteers.
It's so interesting you say that. Mike and I, we had the attorney general from West Virginia came mm-hmm. into the studio, and we asked him about what do you think people should do. And one of the main things he talked about was serve locally.
Yes.
And then we have good friends with Dick Batchelor. Mm-hmm. He's a longtime Central Florida guy, and he said essentially the same thing. So you're saying that whoever's listening to this, they may be neighbors of yours and mine here
right.
in Central Florida, but they may be another part of the country, another part of the world. You're saying research mm-hmm. on who's doing the work locally.
Absolutely.
And then serve where you can.
Absolutely.
And that may be financial, but it may be a mentor,
mm-hmm.
right? It may be connecting the dots. It could be helping provide mental health resources. And listen, even if you're helping as... hey, I want to hire people because I ain't got a job to do. That's helping.
That's great.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So making sure aware of different occupational roles and things like that. But it's really slowing down and trying to connect the dots.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely. You're right.
Well, you know, what's funny is I think that greatness often comes out of some tough places.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like if we think about where future outstanding leaders are going to come from,
right.
some will come out of the prison system.
Absolutely.
Or the child of someone incarcerated. We already know that to be a true thing, so making that investment is key.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Sorry,
I
please.
Often say that the people that we serve are diamonds in the rough.
Amen.
I've had guys to come in where no one expected anything out of them.
Mm-hmm.
There were no expectations but for them to fail. That's all they expected them
right.
to do. And they have come through our agency. They've gone back to college. They have started their businesses. They're now hiring others. My lawn guy who does my lawn, he came through my center. He just showed up. Somebody told me to come in and talk to you. I don't know why I'm here. He came in. We assisted him in getting into Valencia.
Wow.
He got a two-year degree, went back and got another two-year degree, and he started his lawn service, and now it is humongous.
Well, let me just say this. That guy used to be a tax receiver.
Exactly.
And now he's a tax payer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So if you're like, man, I'm about to, work in and paying your taxes, like this guy, he flipped the script.
He contributes to society.
He contributes to society. So he's helping now. We want more of that.
Absolutely.
We want more of that. And by the way, I'm sure his self-esteem, his mental health
Absolutely.
Is improved.
Absolutely.
Because he's working, he has a job, and that, you know how you build self-esteem is you do self-esteemable things, right?
Correct.
That's cool. Well, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I'm going to hug you hard when this is over with, because I can't stand it anymore. But tell me, is there anything else you think that's really important for our listeners to know about what you're doing in your organization specifically?
Right. And just to know that we are very committed to what we're doing in the population. And I shared the story before. For 6 years, there was no money. We had run out of all the funding, but I made a commitment, and this is not about me. I made a commitment that we would still serve these people. And we served them for 6 years without any money, working 50, 60 hours. And that was the most fruitful time of the agency.
Sure.
All of these people came through and went and got their GED, got their technical training, got jobs, doing wonderful things, actually doing better than us at times, mm-hmm. And so we're doing what we're called to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I want you to know that on behalf of myself, the Crossman Conversation, the Shepherd, if I can say that, Mike, I don't mean to speak on behalf of the Shepherd, I'm just a guy here. But thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. You are doing real heavy lifting work, and we are so grateful to be a supporter and a friend to you. And I hope you'll come back sometime.
Absolutely.
And if there's anything else you can think of that we or our listeners can help support you, we're glad to do it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Well, it's my pleasure. So with all that in mind, I just want to remind everyone to support Larry Williams and the Simeon Resource and Development Center for Men. And we'll make sure to put a link out there about that.
Okay.
And as I like to say in every episode, make sure that you support your local HBCU.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Crossman Conversation.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.